my slides that were going to be awesome for my points, I can't open the presentation. It keeps crashing, so I'm not even going to worry about it. So you'll just have to follow, and I'll have to make sure my illustration is good enough for you to get that. But if this is your first time with us on one of these debates, I'm going to speak for nine. Don't worry about it. I've only got it for the opening one. Got 9 minutes in which I'll be speaking. Then Michael will rebut what I have to say for 9 minutes. I'll get 5 minutes. He'll get 5 minutes, two, and then two, or something along those lines. Nine and nine and two, or something along those lines. So, Eddie, if you would like to open up, we'll be ready to go. Tonight, what we are going to be debating is, in a church where there are no elders, what is the role of the preacher in that situation? I want you to open up to the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 6. So this is very applicable to us as a congregation because, well, quite frankly, we do not have a congregation where there are elders or pastors or bishops, whatever you would like to refer to them from the New Testament, as the lessons of the last couple of weeks have pointed out. But I would like to paint a picture for you and see what you think practically happens. So we understand that the church of God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, was purchased with his own blood. And so what you have is in a church, you have sheep of God, a flock of God, right? And what you have in Mark chapter 6 is a group of 5,000 plus men, plus women and children who are in the midst, who have been following Jesus. And notice in verse 34, that when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to understand and get that picture that there were people that Jesus saw, and he looked at them, and they're like sheep that are scattered. They got nobody who is shepherding them, right? Well, that phrase was used from the Old Testament from King Ahab of when the prophecy was given that he was going to die. He saw all Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Well, if the church in a local place does not have shepherds, doesn't it make sense that someone is going to see that the sheep don't have a shepherd and they need to be shepherded? And I want you to notice how Jesus shepherded in the last phrase of verse 34. And he began to teach them many things. What I am going to suggest is that practically speaking, even though there are not shepherds of the group, the evangelist, the preacher, is responsible for being the shepherd of the church and that you teach many things. I want you to notice how the New Testament uses this of evangelists. The two that we have the most mention of are Timothy and Titus. So I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in particular. I want you to notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is that what is said to Timothy is something that he should do here. And it depends on your translation of how this is going to read. But I want you to notice what Paul says to Timothy in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says to them, if you put these things before the brothers, or your translation may say, if you instruct the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And he goes on to talk about all of these things in which he is to instruct and teach. You would see that in chapter 5, how he's not to rebuke an older gentleman. And all these different things, all of this stuff is taught. Look in chapter 6 and verse 2. That Timothy's job in the very last verse of verse 2 is to teach and urge these things. That one of the huge roles of the evangelist is to teach. And if the sheep don't have a shepherd, that is how they are led. That is how they are taught. That is all those things. And that is what the evangelist is to do. So think about what is said to Titus. So flip over to Titus. Notice in Titus chapter 2 that he tells again what Titus needs to do. But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Verse 15, declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. When you think about the role of shepherds, right? They have some authority over the flock. Well, doesn't he give authority right here to the evangelist? You instruct with all authority. It seems as though in a place in which Titus was to set up elders, according to chapter 1 in Crete, that before he had elders, he was the authority figure in that place. Well, there are many other things that we could say about that, but I want you just to understand that, practically speaking, doesn't somebody have to lead the flock to the water? Doesn't somebody have to lead the flock to the green pastures? And what it seems as though the apostle is saying to Timothy and to Titus is that you, evangelists, are for that purpose. There are many other things in which we could point out of that. Was hoping that it would be up and ready to go, and of course it is not. So I want you to think about one more thing here. When you think about the role of the shepherd in this case, usually it's shepherds, right? We talked about that, how it's normally shepherds. Well, but there's only one evangelist, but in this place, guess what we have? We have two evangelists, don't we? Don't they serve good enough as the role of leading the brethren? Don't we serve good enough in instructing the brethren to do all these things? Yeah, we do, practically speaking. Because you know why? Somebody has to do the job. And guess who it's easier for to do the job? Michael, myself, the evangelist. I'll yield my 2 minutes and potentially steal them back in the next group, but I will yield my final minute and a half at this time.
Exhortation or encouragement. Again, with Titus, it did appear, as you look at Titus 2, verse 15, that Titus had authority, but in fact, that's not the normal word, such as Jesus having all authority. That's not the word there. It is actually that Titus was giving to the people commands or orders. And we might ask the question, whose commands, whose orders? And obviously that would be Jesus in all cases, all the time. No, I would argue that the preacher, as Wes is saying, practically assumes the duties, but I'll say he cannot adequately fill the jobs and duties of an elder because, number one, he's not qualified. He doesn't have the ability to be an elder, and we may get more into that, but certainly a number of the qualifications that Titus gives in chapter 1 or Timothy gives in 1 Timothy 3 or Paul does in those letters to them show that you have to be qualified. There are a number of qualifications you have to meet, and preachers don't necessarily have that. Most do not. And he doesn't have the authority. That is, when I say that, he's not been authorized by the Lord to be in that position or office. And so what I would say is, yeah, he may practically, if we want to use that term, and I gave you some definitions here, all but, almost, nearly, virtually, that kind of thing. But you see what that's saying is, it's not the same. And so he might practically or virtually or all but not adequately so. Let me take a look at a couple of other things. First of all, let's just notice the correlation between elders and members of a congregation. If we're talking about the urging, leading, all of that kind of thing, let's go to what elders actually do. They are shepherds. In fact, the three terms that are used, an elder is an older person, mature one. Certainly all preachers are not that. Most preachers start out at a very young age. A bishop oversees, he superintends, he supervises. The third term that's used is for a pastor, and a pastor feeds. But what he does really is provides care. He provides direction to the flock of God. And preachers are not necessarily qualified. They may grow in that ability over the course of time, but it doesn't mean they're always qualified to fill that role. This is a different role altogether. Elders, by virtue of what the Bible says, take leadership. They lead. They have leadership over. Really in the sense of they suppose things, they reckon things or account things, they figure things, we would say down south a lot. They preside or maintain a congregation. They direct, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, and they are examples. And examples that are to be followed in every respect. Look at the list of qualifications. And notice, all right, thank you. Notice the number of things that they've already achieved or accomplished in their lives and serve as great examples to. We may say more about that. Again, preachers are not necessarily accomplished enough to do that. So by definition and requirement or qualification, elders alone are qualified to be in that position. The preacher is not, at least to some degree. And that may be due to age, lack of qualifications. In our case, Wes is not an older man. He's a younger man still. I'm an older man, but I still would not meet all of the qualifications that are listed in that passage. But elders have to be qualified to serve in that capacity. But pressing the necessity of being the pastor on a person who's not qualified may well lead to what Paul did say in 1 Timothy 4, and that is the despising, for example, disregarding or looking down on him for his youth. Now let's mention a passage out of Titus that I think is very telling. Paul said in Titus 1 and verse 5, on account of this thing, in other words, what I'm about to tell you, on account of this thing, I left you in Crete so that you might set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. Notice what Paul is saying. You lack elders in these cities. Now notice, they had an apostle, the apostle Paul. They had a preacher, Titus. But they were still lacking what they needed, and that was elders. Again, they can't emphasize that point enough. Nothing can fill the role of an elder but an elder. Not an apostle, not a preacher. Only elders can adequately fill the role of being an elder. Notice the term lacking. It means in the original to be left behind, to lag, to be inferior, to fall short of a standard. The standard God wants in a congregation is elders. Anything less than that, anything substituted for that, a congregation is left wanting. They're left in need. Notice how the term is used elsewhere. James 1, both verses 4 and 5. Let patience or endurance have its complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, complete and whole, lacking nothing. Again in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. James 2, Wes quoted this passage this morning. They were destitute, lacking of daily food. They didn't have what they needed. Notice again in Luke 18, Wes referred to this passage this morning. The rich young ruler, one thing you lack. You don't have it, you've got to have it. It's a must have, a must need. Again, in each case the term is used, and it's only used a half dozen times. But in each case that is used, what is lacked is a must-have. Nothing will compensate for that. Nothing fills the role of what you lack. Whether that's endurance, James 1:4, wisdom, verse 5, food, 2:15, complete commitment on the part of the rich young ruler in Luke 18, or elders in Titus 1, verse 5, there is no substitute for elders. And so when we begin to look at this passage in Titus 1, what Paul is saying is, nothing can adequately fill that role. So you've got to appoint elders, you've got to have people qualified, and he lists qualifications to Titus, again in conjunction with 1 Timothy 3. You've got to have men qualified, but you have to have elders because you're lacking what you need. An apostle had been there, they still lacked. A preacher was there, they still lacked. They had to have what God wanted. Titus needed to set in order what was lacking. So when we look at preachers, a Timothy, a Titus, who've been taught by the very best, they were taught by Paul, and they were capable servants, ministers, of the gospel, evangelists. They could teach the gospel, and they would go on doing that. And as Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, gave attendance to reading and meditation and so forth, paid attention to the doctrine and to himself, he was going to grow in that. And that's what preachers do. But he does not compensate for the lack of elders.
I'll begin to worry about it. I don't have my notes, so I don't want to.
So Michael's right. A church that does not have elders is lacking. Fact. Fact also is, church still needs to be functioning. Fact is, wolves still come in among the flock. Right or not right? Well, who in the world is going to do that? Yeah, I might not meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. But isn't it the job of the evangelist to be watchful? Some of your translations will say sober. And what Paul tells Timothy is to walk basically circumspectly. And what he means by circumspectly is, again to use an illustration from a basketball coach, is your head is on a swivel. You're looking all around and you're watching everything. Now I want you to think about this, right? So picture that there is a group of sheep out there, and they're down and they're grazing and they're eating their grass and they're drinking their water, right? They're just in la-la land, and sheep are apparently called dumb by most people as dumb animals. They'll follow anybody, etc., etc. Well, what those sheep are not thinking about is protecting one another, are they? They're thinking about eating, drinking, all those things. But who's watching? The shepherd is. And he's got his head on a swivel. He's looking for wolves that would come in dressed in sheep's clothing, to use the quotation of Jesus, right? Well, isn't that very much the preacher's job, that when the preacher sees problems that are going to attack the flock of God, doesn't the preacher have to stop those things? I want you to look at a couple passages. Look at 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That Paul says to Timothy in verse 1, I charge you, I command you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate and they will compile all these for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And here's the phrase. And will turn many away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. There was our word watchful. There was our word circumspect. Timothy, you watch out, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Look back to chapter 2. Look back in chapter 2, in that Timothy verse 14, that for the brethren, he needs to remind them and charge them before God, to Michael's point, in the commands of God, not to quarrel about words which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. And he says to Timothy, you do your best to present yourself to God as approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, and avoid these things. Specifically, verse 17. That their talk will spread like gangrene, like cancer. These people, their speech that is not sound, that is not healthy, that is not right, it's going to spread like a cancer. And I want you to think about how quickly cancer spreads, right? Oftentimes, you don't know that the cancer is there until the cancer has spread in other places. We find ourselves fortunate when we find the cancer before it has spread, right? But he says right here, this cancer is spread like gangrene, and it's almost too late. And he specifically mentions verse 17, people. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth. They're upsetting the faith of some. Like, there were all of these people that were causing troubles throughout. So what does he tell Titus to do? Look in Titus of what he tells Titus to do with all of these people who go on, they do all these things. Verse 8, he says, I want you to listen to these things so that you who believe be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Titus, you teach things that are helpful for people, not these irreverent things that cause dissension, cancer, etc. Now keep reading verse 9. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. And as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, know that you should have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, and he is self-condemned. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, who's responsible for stopping the false doctrines out there? Who is responsible for watching over the people and making sure that they are not being led into all of these false teachings? Is it not the evangelist Timothy? Is it not the evangelist Titus who is told these people are bad, you don't do that, you teach what is right, and in fact he says to Timothy, their mouths need to be stopped. That's like a wolf coming to take on the flock, and the preacher says, not in my house. You're not taking these sheep, right? But if the preacher sits back and says, not a shepherd. Not got to protect these people. Don't have to instruct these people. Yeah, I got to instruct them, but I don't have to protect them. Is he really doing even his own job? Yeah, he might not fit the qualifications, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. But boy, he sure has to do their job, because if he doesn't do their job, who is going to do their job? You just got to do it. So here's the point, right? Michael says it's lacking. I want you to think about this illustration. A single parent. Is that the way God designed a house and a family to be? He didn't, right? So what happens in a single parent home? The single parent has to step up and be both the mother and the father. We understand that that is not the ideal. We understand that that is not the best thing. But what we understand is that the child needs both a mother and a father. And so when you don't have the one represented, you have to do your best to make that work. It's the same type of principle. A church needs elders and an evangelist. But when there are no elders, the evangelist has to step up and carry on both roles, because somebody's got to do it because the flock needs it. That's the way it practically works. And I will yield my final seconds.
So let's start with the last thing that Wes said. What happens in a single parent home when both do not exist? Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to be the father and the mother. Wes grew up in a home with both father and mother. I grew up in a home at times with one, with neither, with substitutes, etc. I think statistics will bear out that if you're successful in such an environment, it's an exception. It is not what God wanted. It does not do the job completely. It's not to say that there can't be exceptions, just like there can be a church that functions well and so forth without elders. It's not the way God designed it. There will be something lacking in the best of situations like that. I think statistics bear that out. Prisons are filled with people who grew up without a father, etc. And I think we all understand that. So to argue that preachers can somehow do the job of elders, and to parallel that with single-parent homes, I think is a gross comparison. But if anything, it bears out the truth. But let's talk about what God wants. Because the position of elders is important to the spiritual direction of the congregation. Paul, when he addressed those elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he pointed out the great necessity of the job that elders had filled. He talked about what he had done as an apostle. He cited his own humility. They were going to need that, because they were going to be certain of their own. That is, there were going to be elders who stepped out of their role, who were not humble. He talked about the fact that he was willing to keep back nothing, as far as the truth is concerned, that was profitable for them, verse 20. That he declared to them the whole counsel of God, verse 27. And then he urged them, he directed them, to take heed, to do the same thing, because they would be overseers of the flock. That's their job. Now notice, he was an apostle. He had been in Ephesus for 3 years. He had left again those same, you know, we look at people like Timothy. They were there, but they can't do the job of elders. It takes qualified elders to do the job of elders. So he said, you're the overseers of the flock. You pastor or feed the church of God, the whole word of his grace, verse 32. Considerable ability and maturity is required in order to adequately accomplish this, and there's just no substitute, no matter who we talk about, evangelist, or whatever. Evangelists certainly preach the gospel. Now, Wes talked about a congregation that has no elder still needs a shepherd. And he asked the question, isn't this the job of an evangelist? No, it's not. Nowhere in Scripture do you see an evangelist told to be a shepherd. You're told, elders are told to be shepherds. Elders are told to pastor the flock, to feed the flock. Evangelists are told to preach the truth. As Wes pointed out in his sermon, to herald, to, you know, call forth the truth, etc. To appeal with the gospel, as I often say, to gospelize, which is what the word literally means. They can't be a pastor. And it can't be compensated for by anyone trying to step into the role, a preacher trying to step into the role and be the pastor or people. As he went to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Wes, I would say that one of the great departures on the part of people is to keep to themselves what they want is this giving over to a pastor system, of wanting a man to have authority in the pulpit, to be the shepherd of a congregation. And this whole idea of a pastor system or a pastor shepherding a congregation has obviously bled over even into the Lord's church. And we have a dearth of congregations in our day and time without elders because many people feel we don't need them, that others can compensate for that job. And in fact, if you want to talk about a gangrene or a cancer that is eating away at the fabric of the church, I think we can easily see, just like the lack of two parents, one filling a father's role and one a mother's role in the home, you know, as a gangrene that's eating away at the home, well, the same thing is happening in the Lord's church because they don't have elders. Think about some of the qualifications of elders. Look at this list. Now, I started preaching literally when I was 18 years old. I was not the husband of one wife. How am I supposed to direct others, lead others, give an example to others of what it means to be a faithful husband of one wife, living a long time in marriage, etc.? How can I lead? How can I shepherd people with respect to that? I can teach them some basic truth. I can learn basic truth. I can grow in that capacity. But there's so much I don't know. And as you go on through this list of bringing up faithful children and how they're in subjection, how do I shepherd a congregation with respect to that at 18 years old? We mock the idea of certain religious groups that talk about elders who are 17, 18, 19 years old, and yet we turn to a preacher who's 18 years old and say, shepherd a congregation. It can't happen. And when you look at all of this list of qualifications, there is no way that anyone but someone who is qualified and meets the qualifications can lead a congregation, direct a congregation with respect to those things. And in fact, elders are called upon to be exemplary in so much, is the idea, to the point of their faith being followed. Only a person who's qualified can adequately assume that role. Let me make one other quick point. And that is from Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There are five roles, as far as I interpret that verse. There are five distinct roles. Some say four, but regardless, tonight's debate, either way. Because an evangelist and a pastor is a different role, and it takes all the roles cited there. Think about what he says. For the perfecting, the complete equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. To come to a unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a fully grown man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No more being children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness that he speaks of. Speaking the truth in love, to grow up into him, that is, in Christ, who is the head of all things, unto all things. So that the whole body fitly joined together. Notice how he comes back to this. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Some in the roles of apostles, some in the roles of prophets, some in the roles of evangelists, and some in the roles of pastors, elders, or bishops, and others in the role of teachers. That's the whole order of God. That's everything that it takes to to accomplish this. And when you take one of those roles away, subtract one of them, then you have exactly what Paul talked about in Titus 1, and that is a church is lacking. And I'll stop there. I don't know how much time I have, but I'll yield whatever it is back to Wes.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Michael said that they definitely have different roles. I agree, but I'm not sure that Peter agrees in one sense. In 1 Peter chapter 5, when he is writing to the elders, and I get the whole age, the whole husband thing, etc., etc., but I want you to notice what he says to the elders in verse 2, to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Then notice verse 3, not domineering over those who are in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That the way in which they lead the flock is not by saying, you go there, but by example. Now, I want you to notice very carefully 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Remember how we said the elders, their title is elders because they're aged? Don't despise the young. Notice 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Notice very carefully here. That let no one despise you, Timothy, for your youth, but set an example, same word as the elders, set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And if you do this, verse 16, you keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You understand that he's saying the way in which you lead the flock is exactly the way that the shepherds will lead the flock. By example, and you will save yourself and the hearers. He doesn't just say that to Timothy. He says it also to Titus. Look in Titus chapter 2. He says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model or an example of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. That is what must be done. An evangelist must step up just like a shepherd and be the example and lead the hearers so that he and the flock will be saved. That's the same role. Somebody's got to lead these people to be saved. And that is a very similar thing. The preacher has to stand up in that moment and do it. That is part of his job. And I will yield my time.
Got left here. Let me just answer what Wes said. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter was both an apostle and at some point in life became an elder. He certainly was not an elder for all the time he was an apostle. But they are distinct roles and they are different duties. Now notice, when a preacher, and sometimes today, preachers are also elders. As they get older and so forth, the preacher steps into that role and he's one of the elders. But they're different duties. When a preacher is serving in both capacities today, or Peter was serving in both capacities in the first century, they had to do all the duties and be qualified to do everything both roles require. That's important because every person is not qualified. Let's go back to what he said, looking at Titus and so forth. Yes, Titus was to be an example. 1 Timothy 4, Timothy was to be an example. And I would say they were to be examples of what a Christian is supposed to be, and I'm going to say it like this, as far as they can be. But that doesn't mean you're qualified to be an example in all the faith. An elder has to be, and that's different. You might be a person who was baptized this afternoon. Someone may obey the gospel this afternoon. Tomorrow you will be expected by God to be an example as far as you're capable of being. But God will not expect you to be an example in the whole counsel the whole faith of God because you've not had time to grow into that. But an elder has. When we thrust upon a person, a preacher, who is unqualified to be an example in every respect, we require of him more than God has required. We require of him to do something that in many cases, especially when he's young, he's not even able to do. That it? Okay, so I will close with that.